This is a replay of the Tuesday night, February 17th, WGN show. We started right at 10 o'clock. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. And I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together tonight. Yep, full, new moon this morning. Don't know if you caught it. Meant to mention that last night. If you're into writing your prosperity checks, hopefully you did that. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, well, never mind. But yeah, man, I miss Carol. She used to keep me on track with all of this. But yes, so new moon, so dark night. All right, so 888-876-5593. Before we get to Eduardo and Paul, as I mentioned, you've been peeling bananas wrong all your life. You're saying, how is that even possible? Well, just watch the monkeys. Apparently, it turns out the easiest way to peel a banana is from the bottom, not the stem. Monkeys naturally pinch the bottom of the banana and pull, avoiding the struggle of breaking this tough stem. It also reduces the risk of squishing the fruit inside, though I would think it was guaranteed to squish the fruit inside, but what do I know? All right, so that's the deal with bananas, but there are several other things. You know those two-tone erasers where you think one side is for pencil and the other side is for ink? The other side is not for ink. Yeah, that's what everybody's led to believe. It turns out that the rougher side of a two-tone eraser is actually designed for use on heavier paper. All right, so in case you're using one. How about the hole in a soda can? Yeah, in the Papa Top. And of course, when Papa Tops first came out in the 60s, they used to disconnect from the can entirely, and hence you'd make Papa Top chains and things like that. Well, now, of course, they're attached. But what about that hole in the top? Well, believe it or not, it's meant to double as a straw holder. Once you pop the can open, turning the tab around aligns the hole perfectly for a straw, which prevents the straw from floating or shifting while drinking. Now, I will say it was not the original intent behind the design, but it's certainly a convenient way. All right, I don't know what the original intent was. Now, grocery carts, you know those metal loops on the back of the grocery cart, on the back of the seats there? They aren't just for show. They're designed to hold plastic bags with fragile items. Even as I read that, I thought, what could possibly go wrong? Well, they say hanging lighter bags prevents them from being crushed by heavier groceries in the cart. Yet few shoppers take advantage of the simple design. Maybe with a loaf of bread, that might be all right. I wouldn't try anything glass. All right, so all that and more useless information. Yeah, man, been peeling bananas wrong. Who knew? That all comes from engineer Bob, who gives me just the best links. And it helps me start the show, and every hour, too. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And if I can find the magic twanger, yes, here it is. We have Eduardo in Tampa kicking it off tonight. How's it going, Eduardo?
Hey, Raleigh. Let me request a song before I get into my percent of regret here.
Oh, really?
I'm going to request
like
One More Time by Sister Sledge.
All right. one more time, Sister Sledge. All right, for Eduardo, you got it.
Yeah, so I saw this online, so it says regress. 11% said people don't have any regrets, but 36% said not visiting family or friends. 35% was not pursuing their dreams. 49% was spending money or buying something. And then 43% was fighting with friends or family. Mine would be not traveling more. That would be mine. They didn't give a percentage for that one.
You're in line with what I discovered early on, and I'll tell you about my not-so-scientific research on this. And that is when I lived in Bell Harbor, which is next to Miami Beach. I used to walk up and down Miami Beach, especially South Beach, where old people were basically dumped there to die. You know, their families back in New York or New Jersey or wherever dumped them, right? And so they'd sit out there just staring at the ocean. Well, occasionally I'd sit and talk to him. I'm probably the first person and only person who talked to him. And what I discovered early on was every last one of them had regrets. And in 100% of the cases, it was for what they didn't do, not what they did. All the time they let slip away. It was never about, you know, like you mentioned, spending money or that. I never heard anybody say, man, I bought that car and I shouldn't have. It was not like that. And these were people who, you know, this was God's waiting room. They were circling the drain. And they all felt the same way, that they let something slip by, something they didn't do. And it didn't always have to be something like, you know, going on vacation. It could be maybe not going after the girl or the guy or whatever. But it was always those regrets were just, and you know, that really made an impact on me. I decided right then and there that if I wanted to do it, by golly, I'd do it. So, yeah.
Yep. Conquer fear.
Well, I'm never afraid of it. It's just most people won't take the time, and I guess there is a certain amount of fear. But radio is funny because, of course, anybody who's been in radio long enough has been fired many times. It's part and parcel of the business. And while other people would be, you know, thrilled to, you know, find another job right away and all that, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to drive to Alaska, you know, things like that. But and that's exactly what, in fact, I remember one boss who couldn't believe it when he said, you know, I hate to give you bad news. And I said, thank you. I've been wanting to go to Alaska. This is just great. And you're going to give me severance. This is wonderful. And I was absolutely nuts, but I wasn't, and I went, and it was a fine drive. So, yeah, I advise everybody, if it's something you really want to do, find a way to do it. Yeah, find a way. There's always a way. Anything that, you know, really is in your heart, you know, don't say, well, I've got something else I must do now, or I can't do it because of the family, or I can't whatever. Find a way to do it, or you will be sitting there, not in South Beach anymore, because now that's pricey real estate with hip young people, but somewhere.
Yeah, you'd be playing mind games,
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So your regret, and you know, you go a lot of places. So that's kind of wonderful. So you need to this year go more because you like doing it.
Definitely.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. I thought that was an interesting post. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not surprised. But as I say, my research, which was not meant as research, but I'd sit there and in 100% of the time, it was always for what they didn't do. And man, I never forgot that. All right.
Okay.
Well, good deal. We will get to your request.
I'll call back tomorrow, Thursday.
Sounds good. I'll look forward to it. Appreciate it. Yes, indeed. So, do you have regrets? And what are they? I'll bet you, more likely than not, it's for what you didn't do, not what you did. Obviously, in some cases, people have done something. You know, I mean, we're not talking about you've murdered or things like this, or people have done something to totally upset the apple cart, and I understand that. But most people aren't doing that. You know, most people, their spouse doesn't come home and find you, in a three-way with farm animals or something. So it's just not like that. 888-876-5593. Paul in Watsink, Illinois, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh. I have been looking for a old-style radio, tube type, and I'm wondering what kind of reception did those old radios have?
Well, it depends when. Some of them excellent. Some of them absolutely excellent, like the old tube Zenith Transoceanic, just terrific. Now, unfortunately, sometimes the tubes fail, and you have a real problem with maintenance on that when you're buying really old stuff. But some of them excellent. Now, I wouldn't recommend, you know, high-end, when everybody talks about tube receivers, they think of things like Macintosh. And I'd go with Macintosh for sound quality, you know, those wonderful EL34 tubes and the pear-shaped tones, but not necessarily for selectivity.
Yeah, I'm sorry, not necessarily for what?
Selectivity. That's what you, when you're talking about reception. Reception's about selectivity. And so you want something that's going to be able to pull in the stations and differentiate them from what's around. You know, some of them are not expensive, and some of the earlier transistors, like that Zenith Royal series, the Royal 275, 265, 285, that was just a little transistor, you know, half tabletop Bakelite radio that had the best damn reception ever. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be tubes, but hit and miss is, my answer.
Now, I noticed when I look at eBay that they always say, works great, like new. I suppose if I was selling something on eBay, maybe I would say the same thing, whether it was true or not.
By the way, you're lucky. Most of the stuff that I'm buying on eBay is obscure enough that all they'll say is turns on. They don't know if it works or not. You know? But the beauty of eBay is you can return it. Even when it says non-returnable, if that sucker doesn't work, you can return it. eBay will stand by the buyer to a degree that sometimes makes it very hard for sellers.
You have to keep all the packaging and everything in packages like you.
Well, maybe, but remember, they have to pay for it to be returned, so in some cases they'll tell you to throw it away. See, you don't have to pay for returns. If you get something and it's DOA or it's just not as advertised and you file a complaint, if the seller wants it back, they got to pay for postage.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things about eBay that make a lot of sense from a buyer standpoint. As a seller, not anymore. I wouldn't sell on it, but many, many, many people do. So sure, but you know, when you're dealing with things that are going to be decades old, you are going to have an issue with, you know, with tubes. Did a tube go out? A, is there anybody who can test it and find it? And B, if they can, is there any replacement on the market that will sound as good? And those are sometimes big ifs. And, you know, sometimes it'll be very elusive. Like years ago, there was a little portable, I'd call it a record player, truth be known, but it was Voice of Music. And this was like 1961, 62. And man, it was not accurate, but it had the warmest sound in the world. I just love this. But what happened after a while is a tube went out. Never could find the problem. Found other problems. Never. And when I finally thought I isolated it, never got that sound again.
Ah.
So, you know, there. You know, if you want to make it a hobby and do it, that's just fine. But get ready to test those tubes.
I do know a TV radio repairman who worked on tubes. He's been in it for a long time. So that's a good point.
Well, if you do know him, and if he's still in business where he still has the testing equipment and access to the tubes, then that's somebody I'd absolutely talk to about, hey, what do you think I should buy? And if it's a problem, will you fix it? And if he can, that's terrific. But now, again, tubes don't tell me much about selectivity, about reception. They tell me about sound quality much more. So what are you after? Are you after something that is 100% selective, or you're going to pick up more stations with this than any radio you've had? Or are you into something? Well, see, then I don't know that I'd even go with tubes, because, you know, with tubes, I'd say absolutely it's worth it if you're looking for those pear-shaped, wonderful, warm tones. But if you're going for straight selectivity, some of the early transistors are just fine and not expensive.
So you would go with the transistor for selectivity.
Well, I loved that Royal series from Zenith, and I just liked it. And they are
Zenith Royal.
Yeah, it's Royal 265, 275, 285. I've had them all, but I guess the 275 was my favorite for God knows why. Cheap. They're cheap, and they were very, very selective. And of course,
and another thing that I've been looking for is I would like it to be large.
Oh.
And have tone controls.
Okay.
And I notice that most of the radios that are being sold today, and I suppose C Crane is the same thing, is they're not very large like they used to be. Remember the old European radios with the key?
Right. Right. The period between furniture when radios first came out and what they'd call tabletops. And, especially when Bakelite came out in the 40s, oh my God, everything was Bakelite. And some of them, yeah, were big and were actually a weapon if you threw them. But, you might look through some of those. And I assume there are probably a ton of things online that would tell you, would give you advice, because there are hobbyists who are very into this stuff.
Now, when you have you bought things on eBay?
Oh yeah, I buy things on eBay regularly.
Okay, when you pay for things on eBay, do you
PayPal
use PayPal. Credit card or
yeah.
do you use?
I only use credit card. By the way, I only use credit card for anything because that's where the best protection is for me. Now, I'm somebody who pays the bill in full the day it comes. I refuse to have interest charges. I'm allergic to that. So no finance charges. But as long as you pay the bill in full, you can use the 30-day float to your advantage as far as that goes. And you have a lot of protection. I'd never, ever, ever use a bank account, and I don't believe in debit cards, so I don't have them.
And how do you use like PayPal?
Yeah,
I
usually use PayPal. Not always, but usually. There are times. There are times I'll just give my credit card number. It depends what the situation is, because again, I know I've got a lot of protection when I'm using a credit card. I got the federal government on my side in terms of what I can be liable for or not. It's much, much better than a debit card would be, or direct to your bank account. So.
And you think that's pretty reliable to use a credit card?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you have a problem, you dispute it.
I have lately had a problem with my credit card, debit card, where the bank will send me a text saying, your card has been used in Colorado. Have you made a purchase in Colorado? And I'll wait till the bank opens up and I'll say, no, of course not. And they'll say, well, we didn't.
That's right. They didn't call you.
We didn't honor it.
Right. Right. And occasionally what will happen is it won't even be your bank. It'll be a fishing expedition. I don't give them cell phone numbers, so they can't send me texts. I don't do it. And there's all sorts of things that I don't do. So, but credit only, never debit. And some of the companies I like better than other of the companies. All of the majors are going after certain segments of the audience. Of the consumer base. And some of them I like better than others.
Okay. Well, that will give me something to think about. Excuse me. And I have a couple of requests.
All right. John is saying what? Oh, John is saying, shut up. Hang on a minute. I'll get your request after the news. Don't go away. Stay where you are.
Okay.
And we'll pick it up right there, right here on WGN Radio.
Corina, Corina,
WGN Radio. I'm Molly James. Billy Bob wanted to hear Corrine Corina, and he mentioned Ray Peterson, who did it in 1960. I said, come on, you want to hear Joe Turner. Actually, Joe Turner is not the original, though it was the first one I heard. He did it twice. He did it around 1941 and then again in 56. But this goes back to 1929. I think the first recording was December 28, and Charlie McCoy and Bo Chapman did it, not the harmonica player, Charlie McCoy, obviously. Tampa Red did it, and so many, many. Cab Calloway in 1932 did it, and on and on. There's over 250 versions of this, but Lonnie Donegan did it in 1960, around the time that Ray Peterson did, and many, many more. But that's sort of for R&B fans and doo-wop fans, the quintessential version would be Joe Turner, Corrine Corina on Atlantic in 1956. All right, so now back to Paul in Watsika, who's got a request. And so, Paul, let's hear it. What do you want to hear?
Okay, well, many years ago I called you and asked you to play a Cliff Richard song that he did in German.
Yes.
And your response was, you hate me.
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, you still hate me. So that's what you want to hear?
No.
Good.
You finally came through and you did play it for me.
Yeah, I did.
And my request is, I've always loved Caterina Valenti.
Ah, okay.
And I've always loved her foreign language songs, even though I didn't understand what the words were. She had such a wonderful delivery and a wonderful voice. So I like them. So I will let you choose, if you wish, to play one of those.
Okay, are you asking, by the way, are you asking me to play one in German? Because she did some, but...
Yes, German would be fine.
I was thinking I'd just do One Note Samba, which was very nice, from 1954, but Spiel Notch Anmal für mich, whatever, is one from 1958 that I actually have.
And my second choice would be Lonnie Johnson singing Tomorrow Night.
Oh, okay. We can do that. Let me write this down. Lonnie Johnson. Wait a minute. What happened to my keyboard? All of a sudden, I feel like I'm in the Cyrillian alphabet. That can't be right. Okay. Lonnie Johnson. I forgot the song. What is it?
I'm sorry. What?
I forgot the title already. Of your Lonnie.
Oh, the title?
Yes.
Lonnie Johnson singing Tomorrow Night.
Tomorrow Night, that was it. Yeah, Lonnie Johnson, I remember. Tomorrow Night was what I forgot. All right, you will get them both.
Yeah, thank you, Raleigh.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling. Do it again.
I will.
All right, good deal. So, 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And let's see, Robert in LaGrange. What's going on, Robert?
Yes, Raleigh. I'll tell you, I feel very good tonight, but I'd like to tell you about, you were talking about regrets earlier, of things, not things that you did, but things that you never did. This was last Saturday, Valentine's Day, and here at the facility, I was sitting on a big chair that they have close to the elevator. And all of a sudden, Saturday afternoon, all of a sudden the elevator door opened up, and about a dozen or 15 children walked out, along with about two or three mothers. Mm-hmm. And one of the little boys walked up to me and handed me a little flower, a little daisy on a long stem, and a little card. And the little boy said, "Happy Valentine's Day." Oh. And I just broke down just like a little baby for about a minute and cried. And one of the mothers ran up to me and said, "Well, why? Why are you crying, sir?" And I said, "You know what? I never had any children." And that really, and it really just dawned on me. Oh, it didn't dawn on me, but I just really felt it. You know, here I am, 78 years old, and it just hit me. You know?
Yeah.
How
nice.
Yeah.
How nice, though. That was very thoughtful.
Yeah. But I always want, you know, like my cousin's children and my friend's children, I kind of did vicariously, you know, did things for them and all too, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. I just wanted to get that in, you know.
Yeah, and it's nice when it's somebody else's because you can go home. You know what I mean?
Oh, exactly. Well, yeah, that's one of the positive.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. That's why grandchildren are better. You can go home.
Yeah, I just see them when they're cute.
Right.
Not,
exactly.
Not when they're throwing a tantrum or something.
Exactly. You get the demo version. That's the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Oh boy. Yeah. Okay then, Riley. I just thought of that when you mentioned that at the beginning of your program.
Yeah, regrets, yeah. Absolutely. But you know, yeah. When you think about it, you probably don't have too much regrets about that. When you think about the whole thing about, you know, raising kids and all that kind of stuff, it's no.
Yeah, because sometimes later on in life, after they grow up, they can bring you sorrow, or they may not even.
Absolutely. It's a wild card, you know. I mean, part of it's what you put into it, but part of it is just any guess. All right, so did you have a request? Yeah. Did I forget this already?
Okay, I'm sorry. I hope I didn't bring you down with that story.
No. I know. I don't think I've played Dance With Me yet. I've got you down for that, but was there something else?
Oh, okay, that would be great. Yeah, The Drifters. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You will hear it this week, I promise. Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye now.
All right, so 888-876-5593. 888-ROLLYE. We'll get to Jim and Richmond here in a moment, but right now we're talking about radio earlier. And, you know, as far as radios today, man, I'll tell you what, I go with the C. Crane Company every time. And Bob Crane, I've mentioned this so many times, many, many years ago, was as disgusted as the rest of us with radio reception in the current radios, and he said, I could do better. And he did. Every radio the C. Crane Company sells has one thing in common. They just have terrific reception. Now, I have the CC Radio 2E as my bedside companion. And I'll tell you, I always say the litmus test, take your average radio, put it next to the CC Radio 2E, tune to a weak AM station, and man, the thing will sell itself. It'll just blow the other radio out of the water. It is one of the best AM and FM radios made today. And it sounds great, too. Really good tonal quality and clarity. And you can adjust it. So, you know, the highs and the lows, however you want it to be. But it's designed to receive long-range AM and FM and make weak signals stronger. They also get weather with a weather alert, and it's a clock and a timer and an alarm, and it's got some presets. And if you're looking for something that is manufactured today that is going to blow everything else out of the water when it comes to tuning, I'd say the CC Radio 2E. You can fine-tune it in 1 kilohertz increments if you want, or you can easily do it in 10. And so, you know, got some presets and got some other things too. If you go to ccradio.com, you can read all about it. ccradio.com. If you got any questions, they've got the best customer service. You can call them anytime at 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. And yes, you can order by phone as well. But if you can go online, go to ccradio.com. Look at the CC Radio 2E. I think you'll be as impressed as I am on WGN Radio.
Not a doggone thing. There's a queen waiting there in a rocking chair. Just looking all around and trucking on down, so I'm glad to get back to my shantytown.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Johnny Long and his orchestra in 1946 on Decca in a shanty, an old shanty town. And it was an oldie by then, actually, because that first came out in 1932, and there are tons of versions of that. But that that one, I think, from the 40s is probably the one that Gene remembers. Now, interestingly, Ray Stevens did it much more recently, believe it or not.
It's only a shanty in old shantytown. The roof is so slanty, it touches the ground. Just a tumble-down shack,
just a tumble-down shack,
by the railroad track,
by the railroad track.
Like a millionaire's mansion keeps calling me back,
calling me back.
When I'd be as happy as if I were a king. It's more than a palace, oh, it's my everything. There's a queen waiting there with a silver.
Yes, almost 100 years old, and it's still being sung. So there you have, just a shanty in an old shanty town. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh and Jim is in Richmond. What's happening tonight, Jim?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. How are you this evening?
I can't complain. So tell me what's happening.
First off, the volume is low. Second off,
really?
I have a whole bunch of things because I've been listening for the last 3 weeks and I had comments on some of the things that happened. But first off, with the bananas, I used to peel them from the stem like you were talking about.
Oh.
Until one day I was watching the Nature Channel and watching the monkeys and the gorillas peel the bananas, and I'm going, why the heck am I doing it the other way?
Yeah, that's good. So did you try it?
Oh, yeah, that's the way I always do them. But then I talked to my friend's daughter who lives across the lake, and she used to work in the ice cream store. And she says, yeah, that's the way you're supposed to peel them. And then you take your clean index finger, push on the top, and the banana will split into three or four pieces. And then that's what you make the banana split with.
Huh.
So the next time you have a banana, take your finger and point it at the top and then push down on it, and it'll split into three or four pieces.
Well, it should. We'll see what happens with me, but I'm willing to give it a try.
Right, and that's how they make the banana splits, and that's where came the word banana split, she told me.
All right.
And then the other thing I wanted to tell you about was fast foods, because I've been going to them for years because I was on the route truck.
Right.
And I went to the Burger King, which is right across the street from the entrance to Northwestern. And I walked in there every morning, and then I went in there, and there was a guy in line in front of me. And he goes, just give me an egg, and this number one, and then just give me this, and make sure the coffee's hot. And he's yelling at her to put the order in. And then he steps aside, and then I walk up, and I go, good morning. May I please have an egg and cheese only croissant and a hash brown and a hot tea? And I go, thank you very much. And then he just spins me around. He goes, what the hell was that? You're trying to make fun of me and embarrass me? And I go, no, sir. That's the way I was raised. And my mother would kill me if she knew I wasn't polite.
I love it.
And he got disgusted and he stormed out.
I love it.
You know? And then the next time we were later on in life, we were in a restaurant, and we walk up and we put in our order, and it was a simple order, and we're waiting and waiting, and then all, you know, like you said, you could see the sandwich come down the slot, and
yeah,
that's what I ordered.
Yeah.
And it's gone. And then go on. Finally, I said to the girl, what's going on? Oh, we're told we're supposed to take care of the driveway first.
Right.
And I turned to her and I said, come here, right to register. I'm standing here right in front of you, looking you in the face. Don't you think you would take care of me first before I lost it? And then she got all embarrassed and ran in the back. And then all of a sudden she came out with that. That was the first time I was impolite, but it was frustrating to me. And then we went one time to a McDonald's and they had a screen up there where your number was up there to fill your order. You know, I'm like, you were 203, you know.
Right.
And then you would see, I'm 203, and the next, all of a sudden, 205's been handled, 207. Mm-hmm. And then I turned to her and I go, what's going on here? Those are the drive-thru.
Uh-huh.
We're timed. We have to take care of them. We can't make them wait more than a minute and a half or something like that. And I go, I don't believe you, you know.
And well, no, I mean, sadly, that's probably very true. That's what their superior, whether it's just the line chief or whoever, tells them they have to do. So that's not something they think about on their own.
Right. And then my next statement is about, you talked about Wells Fargo. Right after my divorce, I was talking with people, and they said, well, you should get a credit report. And then I went and I got a credit report after my divorce, and I found out that my ex-wife, her sister, was a hot shot at the bank, and they had opened up two credit accounts in my name. They weren't my credit card accounts, and she charged stuff on them, and then she canceled them because I told her during the divorce, you have no credit. Because they put everything in my name.
Mm-hmm.
So then I looked further down, and I found three Wells Fargo accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, I don't have any Wells Fargo's accounts. So I had looked into it, and then the next credit report I got, they were gone. And it wasn't 3 or 4 days later that they had the scandal that they were opening up accounts in people's names that they didn't didn't belong to them.
Right, and the reason for that, by the way, is that's the way they were getting their bonuses, you know, by the number of accounts they opened. So they did open phantom accounts, if you will. But in your case, if this was an ex-wife, I doubt it was Wells Fargo who did it on their own.
It wasn't her, because when I looked into it, asked into it, they said, we don't know what you're talking about. There was never any account.
Oh, so it went out. Well, good. At least it didn't affect your credit.
Right, but I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, well, not funny. It's scary as hell when you get right down to it. So it behooves everyone to check their credit, and there's a lot of free ways to do it, and do it regularly, because you don't want to get behind the eight ball and find out about it later.
Right, and then my last thing I wanted to tell you about is my TV is a Roku television.
Roku.
And
Roku, but Roku, I didn't think they made the sets.
Well, the set is made by Husqvarna
something.
The system.
Right.
And the thing is, you know me, I have to sit arm's length in front of the TV just to see it, and it's a 60-inch TV.
Right.
So all of a sudden, my friend, like across the lake, she's the bookkeeper. She looks into it. She says, well, in September, you got $3 taken out of your account. And then in October, you got $5 taken in account. Then on November, you got $11 taken in your account. And I go, who's it all from? She goes, Roku.
Roku, yeah.
And Roku. And I go, I don't have an account with Roku. And every time for the last 2 or 3 years, I got a email from them. I just deleted it because I didn't want to order movies and stuff because I can't see any, you know, the keyboard and all that stuff. So then all of a sudden I get an email and I stupidly deleted it, but it was telling me that, you know, your card didn't work.
Good.
Well, then I looked back, and when I originally got my Apple phone, my Apple ID was tied in with my debit card.
Oh, by the way, don't have debit cards. Please don't have debit cards. Credit cards only.
Right. I know all that, but I'm just saying, and I've had, this is like I had an Apple 4 and an Apple, you know, whatever, so I've had a lot of phones, but somehow they got through to my Apple ID and then my and then my account, and they were charging it.
Right.
So now, the other day, I got, I had her look up, and they looked up, and there's a phone number tied into them taking it out of my account. And I call that number, and it says, and it all was you can dispute your charges and everything, but you go online. And it was repeated over 4 or 5 times, and then they hung up on me. And that was the phone number they had listed.
Right. Right.
To take the money out.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are. 888-876-5593. Apparently Roku does, there are branded Roku TVs now. So we'll talk more about that, but I want to, because there's many, many people who don't realize how they're being taken advantage of that way. So we'll talk about that and more coming up on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Leon Haywood, big hit, long time coming. My favorite, of course, it's got to be Mellow from 1968. But 1980, finally, he was doing very well on the charts, 20th Century Fox. Don't push it, don't force it. And a fine song it was. It was Ralph in Rockford who wanted to hear that. Leon Haywood was one of the most underrated guys and did so many really neat things, including one of my favorite instrumentals. Yeah, Soul Cargo.
All right, okay. All right, fellas. One more time, fellas. One more time.
And, you know, you'd think I'd have a better copy of that, too. And I'm sure I do, but nonetheless, so I won't put you through any more of that. But Soul Cargo was a great instrumental. All right, so we're talking to Jim from Richmond here. And, you know, you really do have to watch it whenever you sign up for anything. If you've given someone either your bank account or debit card or even a credit card, you know, you've got to watch that like a hawk. And when it's a debit card, you really don't have nearly the protection you might like. But even with a credit card, when it comes to all of these automatic payments and all that, sometimes it's impossible to get out of the loop without canceling the card.
Right. What we did is right away, immediately when I found out about it, we went right to the bank, and I got a new debit card.
Yeah.
And they're upset because I changed the account number towards their quote-unquote account, and I never opened the account.
Right.
So the email comes. It says, well, you signed up for Fox News. The only time I watch Fox is for the football games. because I don't like their politics, you know. But anyways, that's different. But so then we even filed paperwork to get my money back.
Good.
But it's never been, one's responded to that, so I didn't get my money back. But,
at least nothing's going forward as far as you know.
Right.
It. Yeah.
I just get threatening emails now.
Well, and, what you can do is say, hey, I didn't sign up for this. Prove it. Show me the documentation.
But I can't get through to them because I can't go online to do it.
Right.
You know?
Well, so then
they
you,
only do it online. They
so
won't
then just,
talk on the phone.
Yeah, right. And I understand that, too. But then
right.
just ignore it.
Right. Then I have one last question, and that happened today. I got an insurance policy, and I started it in 08. I paid $75 a month.
What kind of insurance?
Life insurance.
All right.
And
whole life insurance, term, what? What kind?
I don't know exactly the name. All I know is that it's. I've already paid $15,000 into it, and it's for $15,000. And when I called them to talk to them, they said, well, you got to keep paying or we'll take the money.
Yeah.
So then,
did you do this like something online where they kind of, had great advertisement on TV or something?
Oh, no. This was my friend who lives across the lake. When she was in between jobs, she was selling it. It's Banker's Life. And she was selling it. And she sold it to me and everything. And, it's... You pay into it, and then you get it when you die. And so when I said, well, how about the cash value? And they said, well, we can give you $6,000 right now.
Right.
And then, but I paid
$15,000.
Yeah, but
I'll tell you what, $6,000 is the best deal you're going to get. Take it.
Right. But
seriously,
then
take
called
it.
Me up to, they called me up today. Hi, I'm Anita, and I'm your new representative because I don't want to talk to them because they tried to sell me $5,000 worth of insurance for $150 a month.
Well, here's the deal. You don't need to buy anything from them, and you can tell them I'm not buying anything from you. I want to cancel what I've got and just be firm and get your money. Take your losses.
So she said, I want to meet with you.
No.
And we can fix your account where you can stop paying into it, but still you'll get the $15,000 when you die and all that. And
by the way, the thing I'd ask her is, how am I going to get anything when I die?
Right. So
going to send it to the great beyond? What zip code is that?
Right. But I have my brothers and my beneficiaries.
Well, so fine. So
bills.
Yeah, right. But I wouldn't, by the way, if they're just your bills, he doesn't have to pay them off. If you don't have anything in your estate, he's not liable.
Well, the money is supposed to go for my funeral and all that stuff.
That's fine, but sadly, if you had just put in a bank account that you saved the money over the years, you'd have $15,000 instead of the $6,000 you're going to get.
Right, but I'm just saying. So, but she's saying that you could just sign papers, and then you'll still get the $15,000, but you won't have to pay the $75,000 anymore.
Right,
and I says, well, I'm legally blind, and I need to have someone here, so I'm getting my brother, who's the beneficiary, to be here so I don't get swindled, So
I'd cut my losses if I were you.
Right, and I just want to say thank you because you're the only one I can turn to for information and help with all this stuff everybody I try to get help from relatives and stuff, and they go, I don't want nothing to do with that,
God.
So I just, except for my brother who, he's by my side all the time. But I want to thank you because I don't know who else to call,
Understood. Understood. And you're not alone. Sadly, what you're talking about here is happening to people every day of the week. And most of those life insurance deals are a scam as far as I'm concerned. Now, I'm not saying they don't pay off, but when you consider how little money it is and what you put into it, and like you say, the cash value, what it is, it's probably not in your best interest. And again, if you die destitute, nobody's responsible for your bills. Nobody.
Right.
Now, obviously, if you have assets, your estate's responsible for them. But if you die destitute, nobody is.
And then I want to make three requests.
Oh, let's see. Okay, let me get...
And then you don't have to write them down.
Oh, but I do. I'll never remember.
You keep saying when you talk to people, oh, that's my favorite song, mm-hmm. and it's not the one that they were talking about, and that's my... I love that song. So I want you one night when you don't have anybody's songs to play to play three of your favorite songs and say they're from me.
Okay, you got it.
Okay.
All right, and thanks.
Thank you for everything, and thank you to everyone else, and everyone have a wonderful evening, and tomorrow is Lent.
Yes, it is, absolutely. Now, are you having retinology as well tomorrow?
No, I don't have that till March 11th.
Okay. Yeah, I got retinology tomorrow, so I'll be with you in spirit. All right, thanks.
I'll be listening to see how it goes.
Thanks, appreciate it. Yeah, it's always the same. And that's good news, actually. No changes in much of anything. Went last week, and that's what they said, no changes. Same for John, so that was good. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, Jack in St. Charles has a request. What is it you want to hear, Jack? Hey, Jack, speak to me. I can hear you there, Jack. Well, I'm almost afraid to know what I'm hearing. We'll just leave that right there, and Jack can call back whatever it is he's doing. I hope it's fun. All right, so with that in mind, Linda in Richardson Park. Hello, Linda.
Hello, how are you?
All right, how about yourself? How are you feeling?
I'm doing pretty good. I got a doctor's visit in 2 more weeks over there in Palm Springs, Florida.
Okay.
At Beacon Hospital. So I'm hoping that I'm able to get some glasses or something. I'm excited. They said it's a possibility I could see some. I'm hoping that they can get me so I can see. I see just a little few things.
Yeah.
So, but I called because I wanted to dedicate a record to Jesse Jackson. He's done so much and made such a difference in my life.
What,
you know, my
what song?
Life. It's by Stevie Wonder. I think it's called We Need Love Today.
Okay.
And right. The other one I wanted to play was Keep On Pushing by The Impressions.
Yeah.
I like that song, too, because that's what I'm going to keep on pushing. But he got so much great stuff. And the third one is by Stevie Wonder. I will always, I think it's called We Need Love Today. Is that what it's called?
Well, that's the first one you mentioned.
All right. The other one is, what is it by Stevie Wonder? I can't think of it, but it slipped my mind. But I had thought of some songs I wanted to play, you know, just to dedicate to their family.
Yeah, and by the way, I think what you want is Love's in Need of Love Today. That's from Songs in the Key of Life. Love's in Need of Love Today. All right, that's what I thought it was. Okay, I will do it.
I've been doing good. I'm fine, but I was so deeply hurt. He left us, so I just thought about it. So I had to,
no, that's good.
Such a great difference in my life, you know.
And, you know, it's interesting because when I was hearing about the obit and they were talking about his recent diagnoses and all that, I was thinking, okay, 84 years well-lived, glad he's not suffering now, because the trajectory was not going to be pretty.
Right.
So, you know, he's rewarded by being in a better place without all that much suffering here.
He's done so much for humanity, I can't begin to name things for God.
So,
you know, it helped, it's made a difference in my life.
He will not be forgotten because he came up at such a pivotal time. So, absolutely. All right.
Okay, well, thank you for taking my call.
Always, and I'll probably get Keep On Pushing next. I think it's a good choice. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Good deal.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's what we'll do on WGN Radio.
Keep on! Keep on pushing. I've got to keep on pushing. I can't stop now. Move up a little higher. Some way or somehow. 'Cause I've got my strength, and it don't make sense not to keep on pushing. Hey, hey.
Now maybe someday I'll reach that higher goal. I know I can make it with just a little bit of soul. 'Cause I've got my strength and it don't make sense not to keep on pushing.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Rest in peace, Jesse. You fought the good fight. Keep on pushing. 1964, ABC Paramount. Yeah, Curtis Mayfield at his finest. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And that will take us to, let's see, what am I doing? We'll say goodbye to Linda. We played her push. I'll play her other requests as well. But Ronald Naperville's got some requests. So Ronald, what do you want to hear? All right, we lost Ronald. All right, Ronald, well, if you care to call back, we'd love to hear it. Meantime, Stacy in Algonquin. How's it going, Stacy? All right, no Stacy? Now, this is of concern, to say the least. I expected Stacy. And we got a couple of Stacy songs that we need to be playing, and I'm not... I will get to them, I promise, Stacy. Lou Rawls, anything, the Delphonics, and James Brown, anything. I haven't forgotten about you. So I don't know. All right, so Jack called back, and let's see if he is in fact there. Jack, welcome back to WGN Radio. All right, Jack, are you with us?
Finally, I made the connection. Okay.
All right, we've got Sally Go Round the Roses coming up for you. We played the other one you requested.
Oh, okay.
I hope you heard Swingin' Shepherd's Blues, Mo Kaufman. I did play.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Good. All right, so what else you got?
Tonight for Henson Cargill, Skip a Rope.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yes. And Games People Play, Joe South.
Okay. Okay, yes. Fine song. All right. Good deal. Thanks.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And I like that Henson Cargill song. So let's see what we have going on here. All right. I'm losing people right and left. And, you know, it's about time to say it's time for the news. I'll try and regroup and we'll reconvene in moments right here on WGN Radio.
Skip a rope, skip a rope. Oh, listen to the children while they play. Now ain't it kind of funny what the children say? Skip a rope. Daddy hates mommy, mommy hates dad. Last night you should have heard the fight they had. Gave little sister another bad dream. She woke us all up with a terrible scream. Skip a rope, skip a rope. Oh, listen to the children while they play. Now ain't kind of funny what the children say. Skip a rope. Cheat on your taxes, don't be a fool. Now what was that they said about a golden rule? Never mind the rules, just play to win. And hate your neighbor for the shade of his skin. Skip a rope, skip a rope. Oh, listen to the children while they play. Now ain't it kind of funny what the children say? Skip a rope.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Stab him in the back, that's the name of the game. And mommy and daddy are who's to blame. Henson Cargill, he didn't write it. Actually, it was Ernest Tubbs' nephew who was Glenn D. Tubb, Glenn Douglas Tubb, who co-wrote that with Jack Moran. And it was a unlikely hit in some ways, because Henson Cargill had done an awful lot of things before he finally made his way to Nashville and had a hit with that, and a couple other minor hits as well, and then back to Oklahoma, where sadly he died in surgery in about 2008. But that was absolutely a classic. He did several things. One of them that I always like the title, A Most Uncomplicated Goodbye, is pretty much. So 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Robert called back. All right, Robert.
Raleigh. This time I just have a couple of requests from the rhythm and blues genre. I'd like to hear Howlin' Wolf, Mama's Baby.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, the other one was Jimmy Reed, Boom Boom, I think it was called.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
All right.
So, okay then.
We'll do it. Thanks. Yeah. Appreciate it. All right. Yeah. So let's get Robert's name down for those too. And we also got Jimmy P. Sixpack. He gave us another one, by the way, that we might start tonight as well. But Robert in Lagrange. All right. And I've made a mistake. I've written down on two different lists. Yeah, that's always the problem, isn't it? And with that in mind, now I'm not sure what I played and what I haven't. And yeah. Man, I miss Carol. All right, Ronald called back. He's in Naperville. All right, Ronald, good deal. So what's up with you? Welcome to WGN.
Hi. Yes, I wanted to comment on this thing about people having regrets.
Yeah.
My personal feeling about it is that your regrets are kind of a waste of time, really. And you know, regrets are kind of like no more reliable than any other form of reminiscing. Because, you know, one of the problems with reminiscing is that You sort of look at the things you don't like about the present, and then you construct a glorious past that has none of the things you dislike about the present, and in the process you end up creating a past that never existed.
You're right about that, by the way. I want to interject. This was really interesting right after World War II, when soldiers who had seen all sorts of atrocities came back and started to wax sentimental about the war and your time off and leave and the little girl they met and all that, and it seemed like all the horrors had disappeared from their stories, and it was amazing to me that the mind worked like that, but it does.
Yeah, right. And again, this is like, you know, it's just, you know, again, this whole reminiscing thing. And so, like, you know, for example, take regrets. I mean, you know, the problem with regretting things that you didn't do is that you can't regret the things that you didn't do without the context of the things that you did do. So, like, a perfect example is you gave that example of, like, person regretting not going after the girl or whatever.
Right.
But you can't evaluate you can't regret not going after a particular girl, irrespective of the context of the relationships that you did have. Regretting the things that you didn't do is really a little more than a proxy for regret for the things that you did do. And, you know, like, there's a certain extent to which, you know, you can always regret, you know, imagine that, you know, the roads not traveled, but that's just life. And, you know, like, you know, this, you mean, like, for example, and a lot of this is what your mindset is. I mean, for example, you talked about you were glad to take a trip to go to Alaska.
Yeah.
But, you know, with a different mindset, you could have said, well, hey, look, I spent this time going to Alaska, and, gee, you know, like, I could have done something else to advance my career, and didn't get to do it, and I regret going, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, absolutely. Everything, you know, we live in the mall of life, and everything has a price tag. Rarely is it financial, but it has a price tag. And I think misery is when we're unhappy about what we have to pay, because you can't shoplift in the mall of life. You know, that money, that price tag comes due one way or another.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of interesting. When I was younger, because I used to think that I would have regrets about things that I, you know, did do or didn't do or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, once I got old, I didn't have regrets. And it's more like the view that I kind of, the way I look at life today is that, you know, you just live your life. And, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, you can look at the roads not traveled, but the fact that you didn't travel those roads means that you don't know what was at the end of those roads.
You don't.
And so at the end of the day, I mean, you just live your life because it's the only one you get.
Well, you know, that's interesting. I don't know if it is the only one we get. I'd love an incarnational system where every time we had a choice, we took both options, so that at the end of that life, maybe there was 812,000 different paths. You know, I'd love to see that.
But think again. Maybe you wouldn't be so pleased about that, because there was a science fiction writer, a person named Larry Niven,
uh-huh.
and he wrote a story called All the Myriad Ways. And the premise of All the Myriad Ways was each time it was based on this idea of alternate timeline.
Right.
And that each time you made or did you read this? Or?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I am very aware of this book. Yes, go on.
Okay. So, but you know what I'm saying? But, you know, and so, by being able to hop between these timelines, I mean, the whole process of, mystery of life was just gone.
Yeah.
And so nothing meant anything anymore. So I think maybe, there's a certain benefit of not knowing. And, if you could know everything, I think your life would be just not, it would be like having AI to do everything for you. I mean, if you really got AI to do everything for you, I think you'd find maybe you wouldn't be so pleased about it.
Well, you're probably right, but I'm one of those who usually will skip to the end of the book to find out how it turns out. I'm terrible that way. I always want to know the answer, and you're right. I'm cheating myself in that, yet I still seem to just want to know.
It's one of those, be careful what you wish for.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. But I, Niven's looking at the darker aspects of the multiple universes theory. And so it is a wonderful book collection. But I'd still like to do it. I don't know that I'll get to, but I'd love an existence where I got to take every path. I'd also like an existence where I didn't have to have a body, because I feel very cheated. I mean, something went wrong. We should be able to eat the things we love, and they should be good for us. You know, something went wrong when what we love is the stuff that's bad for us, that we're supposed to be eating a salad. You know, something is just wrong with this. So, so I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. But that's wonderful. You're a great thinker, and I hope you're going to call me again. That was great.
Okay, great. Sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. So good to hear from Ronald. That's terrific. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Obviously, none of us have the answer. And, while we're here, all the near-death experiences, I always say, well, they've got the demo version. We don't know exactly how it would be when you buy the program. But, we'll know someday. But so far, no one's come back to tell us. You know, you hear all these things about the near death and all that, but I guess it was magician who promised that he'd come back if he could, and of course he didn't, and he didn't expect to. But I don't think we've heard back from anybody who actually has really traversed the veil. Oh yeah, there's people who claim they're talking to him, but how the hell do you know? All right, so 888-876-5593. We're going to talk to Annette and Carol Stream about her regrets or lack of same coming up on WGN Radio.
I was the one who taught her to kiss the way that she kisses even now. She loved, she laughed, she cried.
and love. Who learned a lesson when she broke my heart? I was the one.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Elvis Presley, I was the one. 1956 on RCA was the flip side of Heartbreak Hotel and didn't get enough airplay as far as I'm concerned. And it was the first of Jimmy P's six-packs, too. So we'll get to more of those, though I might be taking liberty with the Velours because the one he requested was something we played last week, and I can't get enough of the Velours, so I might substitute. We'll see, and hopefully that'll be acceptable. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, and Annette is in Carroll Stream. All right, Annette, welcome to WGN. Tell me what you regret.
Hi, Raleigh. I will try to make this kind of quick, but I want to say a couple of things first. That almost everything you talked to Jim in Richmond about, I could, you know, comment on all those things.
Yeah.
About life insurance ripping you off and problems with debit cards and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then I also want to tell you that several weeks ago I called you and I told you I was going to see a new doctor about my eye disease, RP.
Yes. What'd you find out?
And, well, I didn't find out much. What I found out was these newer, younger doctors don't know how to communicate with patients anymore.
They just look at their computer and write it into your medical record?
Yes. Yes, that's the whole thing. They're connected with the computer, right. Not with the patient.
Right, exactly, and they're just dictating to the computer. I know.
It's making me crazy.
I don't blame you. I run into this regularly, and also they have a set amount of time. They're going to spend like 7 minutes with you or whatever, and by golly, they're going to get their seven in, no matter what you're thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, and see, I've had the same problem with my newer, younger primary care doctor. Mm-hmm. She comes in and stands 10, 12 feet away from me and looks at the computer and says, yeah, I don't understand what you're here for. And then the whole time she's just writing in the computer. And then when she asks me something and I start to answer, she just walks out. And then her nurse comes back and says, well, you ran out of time. You're going to make another appointment. What's the use of coming in?
What's really so sad is that all the things that were designed to make healthcare access more universal actually have done just the other, because at this point, about the only real healthcare you get is when you go to concierge medicine and you're not doing insurance and you're just paying out of pocket, but very few people can do that. And so it's become less equal than it's ever been. Because the system as it is, you do not get, you certainly don't get the art of medicine, which it used to be. Science was, of course, involved, but art was probably more important. And one of the things with allopathic medicine especially is whatever it is, they'll throw a drug at it. And that may not be in your body's best interest. So I feel for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I used to work in a medical clinic for 16 years. And so I know how our doctors used to deal with people.
Yeah.
And it was one-on-one, and they really talked to you. And if you had a pain or something, they really examined you, and they really talked to you about the possibilities.
Absolutely.
You know? And then they would go write up their notes after that. And granted, a lot of people couldn't read their notes, you know, because it wasn't in a computer back then. It was all on paper. And the pieces of paper could get lost, you know, so there were all kinds of problems with that. But they really connected with patients.
Right. They didn't talk to the computer. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. And I've seen, unfortunately, some really bright doctors who have fallen victim to this, that they're no longer treating patients. And so it's a very sad situation. And that's where we start to take matters as much as possible into our own hands and read as much information as we can, not suggesting you go to Google, because just because it's online doesn't make it right. But at the same time, being an informed patient has become vital at this point.
Necessary.
Yes.
Yeah. So this young man that I saw, I think he had plenty of knowledge in his head. He just didn't share much of it with me, you know?
Right.
He was just sitting there talking into the computer and typing into it. And, you know, occasionally he'd kind of turn his head and talk to me off to the side. And my hearing is getting bad enough. I had to go, what? I'm sorry?
Yeah.
He said, what? So now I'm thinking maybe I need hearing aids before I need anything else.
Right.
But he did say, at least, that I did not have a retinal tear, which I was concerned about.
Good, excellent.
Or detachment.
Right.
Because I had seen some flashing lights, and I was worried about that.
I don't blame you.
And, yeah. And he did say that I could go ahead and get my cataracts removed, although he doesn't know if it'll do me any good or not, because my RP is so advanced.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm going to go for it.
And you've got a lot of choices when it comes to cataracts, especially if you can pay for some of the premium lenses, because they've got one, a light adjustable lens, where they don't lock you in right away. You can go, you know.
That's what my friend got down in Florida.
And
and she's very happy with the results.
Yes, because, you know.
Cost her a lot of money out of pocket.
It is out of pocket. Oh, everything is out of pocket except the standard lens, obviously. But one of the things that they don't tell you, the biggest mistake that happens in cataract surgery is guessing the wrong prescription for you. And so, you know, you wind up needing glasses continually because they didn't guess right. And with a light adjustable lens, you've got the ability to make choices before they lock it in. Now, it's a bitch, as your friend probably told you, where you have to wear the dark sunglasses and all that. For God forbid you get too exposed to light, you'll lock it in yourself. But, you know, if you can go through it, and if you can come up with the cash, I would definitely look at that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I want to do that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, when you started talking about regrets tonight, that really hit me right between the eyes. Because I'm probably getting towards the end of my life. I'm not all that old, but I have stage 4 cancer now.
Yeah.
And so they've already told me that I probably only have a few years left to live. And because of that, I'm reexamining all kinds of decisions that I made throughout my life. And just, I can't help doing that.
Sure.
And like you said, I wish I knew what these alternative paths would have resulted in. Right.
But here's the deal. You don't, obviously. However, and stage 4 is pretty daunting. I understand that. And at some point, it may be physically impossible for you to do some of the things you want to. But right now, you're sounding pretty strong. And if I were you, I'd make my bucket list and I'd go after it with a vengeance.
Yeah, I will as much as I can.
Yeah.
I'm already, you know, because of the blindness and everything, I'm already, you know.
Oh, right. Absolutely. It's easier said than done. I get that. But, you know, the reality is none of us knows when our expiration date is. And in a way, knowing where
that's
you say, hey, I've got 2 to 4 years or whatever, that at least gives you some timetable rather than somebody else who thinks they're going to live forever and they're hit by a truck.
Right.
You know, you just, you don't know. So your deal is to
there's
stay.
There's something specific that has come to me, though, recently. Do I have time to keep talking?
I'll tell
you
what.
Need to go to a break?
I'm going to go to the news here in a minute. But, yeah, let's talk for a minute, and then I'll talk to you after the news. But tell me about the specifics.
Okay. Well, specifically, when I was younger, and I already knew I was losing my eyesight to this eye disease, and that it would keep getting worse.
Yeah.
So I went on as many trips as I could when I was younger.
Good.
I thought about that, you know, and even though I couldn't really afford it, I found ways to go a lot of different places.
Good.
And I'm glad I did that.
Yes.
So specifically, what I have a regret about is a person that I met in another country that I totally fell for. And then I didn't manage to continue a relationship with him. And he was so wonderful. And I actually came home and I wrote him a letter and I didn't even know if he'd get it or not because I had to send it to the place where he was playing music because he was a musician. And he got the letter and he wrote back.
Hang on a minute.
And
don't go away. That's going to be the punchline. Stay right where you are.
Okay.
I want to hear all about this coming up on WGN Radio.
Couldn't you?
Couldn't you, couldn't I, couldn't I,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, it's the Velours. And it was actually Can I Come Over Tonight that Jimmy P had requested as the second of his six pack, but we played that last week. So I thought, I bet you he'll like This Could Be the Night, one of my favorites. Flip side was Hands Across the Table, 1957 on Onyx. Yes, a fine choice. All right, now, Annette in Carroll Stream. So she writes to the guy, and she gets a response. What did he say?
Well, I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was a nice letter, okay? He answered my questions, and he kind of told me a little bit about what was going on there and what one of the other guys that I'd met that night, what he was doing. He'd signed up for the Army, and they were shipping him off to Iraq and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And so the thing is, I was so excited to hear from him.
Yeah.
So happy.
Yeah.
And yet I thought, he lives more than 3,000 miles away from me.
This is a problem.
And he's got his life there.
Yeah.
And I've got my life here.
Yeah.
And I had to keep working, and my mom was dying, and I was trying to take care of her, and I thought, we're never going to be able to make this work. But instead of writing that to him and saying, how can we possibly make this work, I just stopped writing.
Oh. And now you're wondering, now you got the what-ifs, the what-ifs.
Yep. Now I'm thinking, what if I'd kept writing to him and we'd figured something out? And either he had come here, which was possible, or I had gone there. Because our countries are very friendly with each other and they speak English and all that, you know. And the thing is, you know, I just got really caught up in my life here because after my mom died, then my dad needed help and I still had to keep working because, you know, I didn't have a lot of money. And I kind of made myself forget about him.
Yeah.
And I so wish I hadn't done that because I think now, if I had even kept writing to him, maybe we could at least still be friends on some level, you know? And, of course, we didn't have the internet back then. This was quite a while ago. A few years later, we did. We probably could have done emails and stuff. But I've thought about him from time to time over the years. After it got to a certain point in time, I thought, yeah, there's no use, you know? And
You never know.
Yeah.
No, that's
from time to time,
we will never know. That's the whole point. Yeah.
But listen to this. Then recently, I thought of him again because I had friends who went over there because they were going on a cruise and they were starting in his country and then going on to other places. And my friend sent me back pictures from there. And it revived all these memories I had of him.
Sure.
And I started thinking about him way too much. You know, thinking, I wonder what he's doing, you know. And I looked him up online, which somehow all these years I had never done. I had never looked him up online,
yeah.
And I found him.
Okay.
And I've actually found quite a bit about him because he's a very good musician, and he plays a lot of places.
Okay.
And apparently people really like him, and so he gets lots of work.
Okay.
And so I've actually been able to listen to little clips of him playing with different people, like accompanying singers and stuff, you know. And so then I keep thinking, okay, all right, what am I going to do now, you know? And where I found him on Facebook, he just has a picture and doesn't tell very much. And, you know, he's got it really closed up to the public. And I'm just part of the public now, you know, and he's a smart guy.
Well, you probably could try to contact him and see if he responded.
Well, right, and I may yet, okay, because here's the thing. I got remembering that while I was over there, I wrote a poem for him and his friends that I met over there.
Okay.
And I lost it when I lost my house. I lost almost everything I owned, but I can remember most of it. And so I've put this down in my phone now, like in an email to myself. And I have a great counselor who listens to me, and I'm telling him all about this, and I'm saying, I know this is crazy. You know, this was years and years ago that I met him, but I'm thinking about him again, and here's this poem that I wrote for him.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I know it's not great. It's not like fantastic literature or anything, but kind of tells about the night that I met him.
Right.
And so he listened to it, and he went, oh, that's pretty good.
Ah.
You ought to send that to him.
Oh, that is pretty good, yeah.
I said, I don't know. He probably doesn't even remember me. And he said, it doesn't matter whether he remembers you or not.
Right.
He said, if it were me, I would be so pleased that somebody remembered me positively after all these years. And I would be so excited that somebody wrote a poem for me, and I'd want to see that.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I don't know, maybe.
Well, you know, you're far enough away that you wouldn't be perceived as a stalker. Because that's one of the things you start to think is, oh, my God, if I write to this person, what is he going to think? But, I mean, there's so much distance there that I don't think that's a big fear. So
it's over 3,500 miles.
Yeah, I don't think you have anything to lose as far as that
And, of
goes.
Course, I found out since then, you know, I keep digging, you know, in the Internet. And I found out that he's got a wife and kids, of course. You know, why wouldn't he?
Well, he might
be a good-looking guy.
Did he have them before? You know, who knows?
I don't think so. His information says that he married in 2003.
Oh, okay. All right. So he's been married about 23 years.
Uh-huh.
So you would basically just be writing, a friendly letter to say, hey, you were on my mind and hope you're doing well, and hey, I wrote this poem. I don't think you can lose. You know, the reality, just like we were talking about with our previous caller, is you know, regrets certainly in some ways just are not appropriate because we don't know how it would have turned out and all those kind of things. We create these stories and regret what it was, except it never was. You're regretting what never was. And who knows? Yeah. But I don't see any harm in reaching out, you know, because he's going to be safe. He can decide he's not responding, and then you'd get an answer right there if you knew it arrived.
Right.
You
right.
Know,
that's what my counselor said. If he doesn't want to hear it, doesn't want to see it, he can just throw it out or delete it or whatever,
exactly.
Depending on how I send it.
Yeah, right.
And so I wouldn't really be hurting anything.
No, and you could, you know, just for curiosity's sake, you could, I understand if you don't really want to communicate, but I would like to know that this arrived. You know, I think I'd add that just so that, because that's the thing you'd wonder. You'd always wonder, well, did he get it? You know.
Yeah.
So that's,
exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. I want you to find out more. yeah, it's a great soap opera. So by all means, find out more
and
let me. It is
a little soap opera, and the thing is, I've seen that he plays a lot for music for theater groups,
uh-huh.
You know, and musicals and that kind of thing.
Okay.
And I said to my counselor, you know, all those things that they do in theater, they all start with a story.
Sure.
And this is my story of what I remember from being there.
Yeah.
And so he could look at it like that, you know?
Yeah.
This is another story. And I think I would put a little thing in parentheses someplace that says, don't worry, if you don't understand this, you were the protagonist in this.
Yeah.
You were the good guy.
Yeah, by all means, you could do anything like that. But sure, I would want the disclaimer, just let me know if you got it, but I understand if you don't want to say anything else. But just know you were being thought about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me know. I definitely want to know. That's right. Expiring minds want to know, and God knows mine expired. So by all means, yes. Tell me.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what's been on my mind a lot lately. So then when you started out the show talking about regrets, I thought, oh my gosh.
Right.
Yep.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I can't wait to hear more. Let me know how it goes.
Okay.
All right. All right. Thanks, Annette.
Thanks for listening.
Absolutely. Okay. Bye. Yeah, that was a great story. All right. Now I want to know. All right. Yeah. And you never know. But and sometimes you're having regrets about what never was, like that great song from the Doobie Brothers from '78. What a Fool Believes. Yeah. Trying hard to recreate what had yet to be created. All right, Gary and Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Why, really? I hope she does contact
me.
That'd be really good. That'd be really nice.
I hope so,
like
too.
Those kind of things.
Me too.
But I have a couple comments on regrets and also politeness. There are a lot of things I've done. I don't regret doing them, but I wish I'd done them differently.
Uh-huh.
Because in most cases, I learned from them, you know, what not to do, if nothing else. So I don't regret doing them, but, you know, and there's so many things in my life that almost I could have, I sometimes think about changing my last name to Almost.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know. But I can think of a lot of things that if I just made this other decision.
Right.
You know, but okay, I did it, so I learned from that.
But, right.
You know, if that opportunity ever occurred again, then I would make that other decision.
Right.
You know.
Right, and then you'd know how it turned out. Because sometimes we think, you know, if I only decided this, well, that's why I say I'd love that lifetime where we got to explore all the avenues, because who knows how it would have turned out.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to somehow read about all my previous lives to see if it's been so messed up. What did I do karmically in previous
lives? That's right, right, yeah. Go to the Akashic Records. Yeah, sit there. And
yeah.
Read all about it. Yeah, I'd like to do that too, actually. So...
And about politeness, what's really bad is when you are with people who are impolite to someone like an order taker or a clerk. Because I remember we were in the process of moving to a new neighborhood, and the apartment locator, we went through a fast food place, and the locator was driving us, and she was just really rude to the order taker. And I'm thinking, I'm going to be living here in about a week. I don't want this to happen.
Right.
They're going to see me and realize that I may be mean.
Right.
And so they never did. I don't know if they didn't recognize me or what, but I mean, I never had any issues.
Right.
I was really, you know, unhappy about that. And I've been in situations where people have done that. And I remember one time I was in a convenience store, and this woman was wanting to buy cigarettes, and they were a little bit too high for her,
right,
cost-wise, and she just went off on this guy, and she used some racial slurs against him,
yeah,
and all these things, and... so I was going to buy some beer back in my wilder days.
Right, okay.
And so, and it was getting close to midnight. And so anyway, so she finally stomped out without buying her cigarettes. And so I bought, he got, brought the beer back. And I said, do you want one of these? You know, because just, there was just uncalled for the way she talked to him.
Right.
And, you know, it's like. He doesn't. He just said, "I just charge the price, ma'am. I don't, you know."
Right.
And I just hate it when people do those kinds of things, because so many things are not in our control of what we have to do.
Well, that's right. Absolutely right.
If you're working for somebody, you can't just decide to do something because you want to.
Right. Exactly.
For the most part.
Well, you could do it once, then you get fired.
Yeah, then you'd be looking for work the next day.
Exactly.
But,
I can't imagine. You know. But, you know, I think most people are operating, sadly, from a point of real hurt. When you get right down to it, they're just not happy on any level. And usually when people act out like that, it just tells me that they're just miserable.
Yeah.
You know, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah. And we tend to take our own frustrations out on others.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. They're having a rotten day for whatever reason, and the only person they can beat up on is the fast food clerk. So and it is. It's unfortunate all the way around. But I get that.
Yeah,
I really do.
Yeah, I get it too. I try in my own life, and I'm not always successful. And believe me, I've been known to snip and snap at people if like I needed to, but I try to look at the other person's side of it and try to realize that they're just trying to get by over, you know, get by too, like I am.
Oh, absolutely. You know? But no, there are times you snap. That's exactly why John saves me. It's like, oh God, she's going to get arrested. I just know it. I get that. Yeah. You get on my last nerve and just watch out.
I'll take a lot, but then when I snap, yeah. I will snap.
Well, that's right. You're right. It's months of pent up anger all coming at once on one poor soul. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. Only too well.
Yeah. Yeah. Just some thoughts on that, and then I enjoy these topics. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. All right. Well, it's always wonderful to hear from you. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, great.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
And that's where we'll pick it up. Find out what you regret coming up on WGN Radio.
That he'd love you much more than I, but he left you, and you just don't know why. And when you don't know what to do, you come running.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's the third of Jimmy P's six-pack. Yeah, Garnett Mims and the Enchanters, Cry Baby. What a wonderful song that was on United Artists, don't you know? And John's saying it's time for the news. All right, well, very good. Well, right after the news, we'll have another bumper stumper, and then we'll get to the rest of it. Well, they won't be stumpers. They'll just be your requests and back to your calls on WGN Radio.
You wanna do? Say, Luberta, oh, Luberta, girl, you tell me where you've been. When you come home this morning, honey, you had your belly full of gin. Thank you.
WGN Radio. I'm Ronnie James.
I'll say
absolutely, that was Earl Palmer on drums. You know it. And, of course, Professor Longhair, vocals and piano, who Henry Bird was his name. Lee Allen did sax. Yeah, and just a wonderful session. And, of course, a guy who produced it was Cosimo Matassa. Turned out that that was on Atlantic. Yeah. Shellac, 1953, indeed. Came out on a 45, too, on the Yellow Atlantic, but I think I have the red shellac. In any event, that was Don in Beloit's request that we play more of Professor Longhair. Yeah, I'm a big New Orleans fan, but not so much that much of a fan of his. Certainly can understand the genesis and why people, sprang forth from that, but... Yeah, I'll take my Lee Dorsey's all day long, you know, Ernie Cado's and all that. All right, Cleveland Dennis needs help. All right, well, this is not good. Let's see what we can do. So welcome back to WGN Radio. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm enjoying the conversation because the last few callers, the dynamic stuff in my view, in my opinion. But, you know, I could just say a couple things about regrets. I touched my head. I kind of consider myself a happy person, but certainly I could look at things as regretting, but I don't have any overbearing feeling about regret, okay? And I really like what some of the callers said about that tonight. But one thing I was going to ask you, opinion, I guess, what do you think about me if I'm a special case? But when I was a, you know, mid-teenager, like 15, 16, I really started liking old records. I listened to the, you know, pop music of the day on the radio station, the soul station, things people I thought were fantastic. But I've been living with, you know, the disturbance in my mind of sorts that I can't really listen to the older music. As time has gone on, so even though I'm still working, I do most of the work for the computer. I got the radio going, the internet stations listening to stuff from even the late 20s, 30s, 40s now. But, you know, I don't want to say am I damaged, but is this normal?
Yes, it's number one, it's absolutely normal. But number two, here is one of the most important things as far as I'm concerned about life. Don't question the good things. The things that make you happy, the things that you enjoy, just enjoy them. Now, obviously, there's a caveat. If you're wanting to murder people, we've got another problem on our hands. But we're assuming that you're not trying to make snuff movies in your garage. Now, as soon as that's not the case, if it floats your boat to listen to something from the 20s, what the hell is wrong with it? You know, there's no yardstick. And by the way, no one knows what normal is. We might be able to calculate what average is, but wouldn't it be interesting if normal had nothing whatsoever to do with average? So I don't worry much about normal. But there's so many things in life that you deal with on a regular basis that you cannot control. Well, when you find something you love and you're doing it, my God, just enjoy it. Don't question it.
Love it. Love it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you.
You betcha.
I'm enjoying the record when you played Cry Baby by Garnet.
Yeah.
Enchanter.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I laughed to myself how beautiful I find some of that music.
Oh, yeah. No, that's Philly at its finest. You betcha. Wonderful stuff. So, yeah, just enjoy it.
I got to think of something that I can request. I heard a chef... Woolly song. I didn't realize that he was a country artist back
in
the early 50s. And he sang, I think it was Oklahoma Honky Tonk Girl.
Okay.
I don't know if that's extreme for the program, but if you can find that one.
Yeah, I actually have that. You know, I always laugh when I think about Cheb Woolley because, of course, the deal about him was how much he hated rock and roll. I mean, to his dying day, just despised it. And when he made Purple People Eater, he did it kind of as a pimp on Top 40. It never occurred to him this would become a hit. So his earlier stuff, and of course he had an alter ego in country. He was Ben Colder as well, and he did a lot of
right. I read that.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff, like his Harper Valley PTA one and all that stuff. He did a ton of those Ben Colder stuff that were terrific. But yeah, he was on MGM. Well, of course, Flying Purple People was, but I mean, even before that, Oklahoma Honky Tonk Gal was on Bullet. And that was 1946. That's before the MGM periods. Yeah. So that was Bullet Records, and so that's and that was also in Nashville, obviously owned by Jim Bullitt. And So I probably have that here. And if you want to hear Oklahoma Honky Tonk Gal, you will.
That'll be good. I'll be listening.
All right. Good deal. Well, I'm delighted you called. Thank you.
Thank you for the time and for listening to me.
Absolutely. And go enjoy anything you want. Anybody else who disagrees, the hell with them. All right, thanks.
Yeah, a couple of my friends want to ask me why I do that. I said, mind your own business.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, you just say, I have no idea, but it makes me happy. It's all that matters.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
So far too few things that we can control, absolutely control in life. And like choice of music, that's one of them. If you love it, you listen to it. Yeah. And if you don't want to be subjected to it, don't. All right. So 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. I'm going to try to find that Oklahoma Honky Tonk Gal. I think I might have that here. And we'll take a listen to that. And then we'll get to Bill from Chicago. Ooh, insurance. Oh, fighting words. Oh, man. Actually, I am frustrated as hell with insurance right now. We'll get to that, too, coming up on WGN Radio.
She's my Oklahoma honky tonk gal, me oh my oh me. She's my Oklahoma honky tonk gal, she's half Cherokee. Oh, she don't drink liquor, but she sure likes beer. Ain't a sweeter woman living anywhere than my Oklahoma honky tonk gal, me oh my oh me. Oklahoma honky tonk gal, me oh my oh me. How I love my Oklahoma honky tonk gal, she went back on me. Well, I took her out to hear the ragtime band, but she run away with the fiddling man. She's my Oklahoma honky tonk gal, me oh my oh me.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and there it is, Oklahoma Honky Tonk Gal. He wrote it as well as recorded. Shab Woolley, that's obviously on shellac because we're talking 1946. Bullet was an interesting little label. Jim Bullet, and yes, that was his name, but he spelled it B-U-L-L-E-I-T, unlike the record label, which spelled it traditional like Bullet. But nonetheless, had a lot of different acts on that in the 40s, including Chet Atkins was on Bullet for a while. But not only that, Winoni Harris. Yeah, so on the one hand, it's Ray Price. On the other hand, it's truly a, you know, gut bucket R&B. So it was interesting. And just a few years, it wasn't around all that long. I think Jim's son tried to bring it back at some point. But it was, you know, a lot of country, obviously. But not only when you start to see, you know, Winoni Harris and everybody else, it's interesting. So, yeah, it was interesting. Interesting little late 40s label. Into the B.B. King did some things on it. I'm trying to think who else. But it was certainly equal opportunity as far as that goes. Yeah. But Owen Bradley was on it. Yeah. Who of course later quite the producer and recording engineer to say the least. But yes, Shab Woolley in 1946, Oklahoma Honky Tonk Gal. Yeah. All right. So there you have it. 888-876-5593. All right. Bill in Chicago. What's up, Bill?
Hey, hello, Raleigh. How you doing?
All
good
right.
Show tonight.
Thanks.
And a little while ago, I was talking to Jim, and if I don't know what his age is, but he was talking about his insurance. My theory is, if you want to go ahead and you can do it, which I did myself and did it with my wife years ago. Go to a funeral home, plan your funeral while you're still alive. You know
right,
what you're going to get.
Absolutely, pre-need,
and,
yes.
And if it see what it costs, in some funeral homes you can make it on a payment.
Mm-hmm.
But cash that policy out, take that amount of money he said he would have coming to him,
mm-hmm.
put it down on the funeral, and if he has to, pay another $50 a month to finish paying off his funeral.
Well,
or the $75, or if it costs only what the money you get from the insurance company, okay, take that $75 and stick it in a savings account.
Yeah.
And save the money. Pay yourself.
Absolutely. It can cost a lot less than $6,000 for a funeral. You know, I mean...
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying.
If you want to be...
Yeah, right.
If you want to be cremated, sure.
Whoever can take it, go to the funeral home you know you're going to use.
Right.
And plan the funeral now. And it's all paid
yes.
for, and you don't have to worry about it. They don't have to worry about it.
Yes.
Or anything like that.
And shop around.
And also, with the girl that was talking about the guy she met
yeah.
in another country.
Yeah.
She's talking about she went to the eye doctor.
Yeah.
I've got a policy. When I go to a doctor, and it's a new doctor, I've never seen him before or her before, either one,
uh-huh.
I got one statement I always make to him. You work for me, I don't work for you.
Right.
I mean, you're paying them, they work for you, you don't work for them. So they should spend the time with you and explain what you want. And so, it's a vicious circle. You got to vouch for yourself on everything. You can't depend on someone else to do the stuff for you.
Absolutely.
You got to advocate for yourself. And I meant, as far as vision problems, well, I lost my sight totally about 7 years ago.
Yeah.
But I had a rare disease that was diagnosed in 1949 as Voigt-Koyanagi-Hirata syndrome, VKH for short. And I can't find any doctors who can treat it now. Of course, it's the point where it wouldn't do any good. But you mentioned what they got. You got what?
It's autoimmune, by the way. I'm very very well aware of what it is. VKH.
Right. And the thing of it is, they don't know how I contracted it, because back then in 1949, when they diagnosed, it was a Oriental disease, and I was lived in the middle of Indiana and never met anyone from the Orient my whole life.
Yeah, it's not at all contagious, and usually it's secondary. The only reason I know about it is I have uveitis.
I developed that.
Of course, I know you
and
did.
I've done cataract surgery.
Right, exactly.
Done you all
get,
that stuff.
Yeah, you get
when
the,
you mention the name now, it's like, huh?
No. Well,
in fact, when I was diagnosed in 1949, I was the only known Caucasian in the United States. I've been to males. I've been out east. I've been in every major eye clinic I can think of, and I doctored at Indiana University Medical Center. And the last I knew, I stopped while my doctor I had there. He retired and passed mm-hmm. away about 1998 or so. And he used to kid about that. I had roughly 32 volumes on file at IU Med Center.
Yeah. So. Well, the problem is that, especially allopathic medicine, but sadly all medicine at this point, knows very little about what to do with autoimmune disorders, no matter what they are. And so all they do is mask them. But I'll tell you, it's kind of scary, because a lot of them now are trying to do this this gene therapy stuff that scares the living daylights out of me. No thanks, not volunteering for that.
But they're
looking for the holy grail of this, because they really don't understand any systemic autoimmune disorder. And
my parents didn't know I even had any eye problem until I went to preschool exam in 1945. I'll give my age away. I'm 86. And they said, we're going to cover your right eye and tell me which way the east point. Well, I read the chart all the way to the very bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mother said, they said, now we're going to cover your left eye and do the same thing with your right eye. But when they covered my left eye, I said, turn the lights back on.
Uh-huh.
I had no vision in the right eye, and of course, the eye looked normal. And I just never let it... They never noticed anything wrong with one eye, and then, of course, started doctoring. But, you know, it's... But I have I have no regrets on what I've done. I mean, everything I've done in my life, I have no regrets on them.
Good. Excellent.
Because I met a girl that was the same age I was at Riley Hospital in 1949. We spent 3 months there together. And in 1961, we got married.
Wow, okay.
So we went through school and everything together. So,
good.
But other than that, that's about it. But that's the thing I'd advise Jim. Just go to a funeral home and see what a funeral costs and plan your own funeral out and sign it off, and that's it.
Right,
and done.
As I say, shop around because
You know, go to two or three different ones. You would
absolutely
see what you get the best deal and the best product.
Yeah, and if you want to be if you want to be cremated, that can be downright affordable for anyone.
Oh yeah, right. That can be if you want to be that. But even a casket, you can go anywhere from $1,000 to $20,000
or more. Things. Yes, it's just horrible.
They're getting to be almost like a price of a car.
Yes, yes, exactly.
So I mean, it's whatever you want, and like me, I don't worry about what I'm leaving to the family.
Why should you?
Right, leave your life now. Don't worry about what they're going to do. That's their problem.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Well, I'll let you go.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Always good to hear from you. Appreciate it.
Right.
All right, so 888-876-5593. Yeah, John just came in today earlier and says, wow, they're really making some advancements studying autoimmune. And they are. And the article was very interesting until I got to the bottom where immediately they were talking about the drugs they're going to develop. And it's like, no, steroids are bad enough. Don't start messing with everything else. And that's, you know, what they all want to do. So Chris in Greenwood, welcome to WGN Radio. Thank you for waiting. You get the final 2 minutes. What's up?
Hey, Raleigh, how's it going?
Can't complain. How about yourself?
Fine. I'm vacationing in Greenville right now.
Oh,
in downtown Greenville.
Very nice.
Yeah, and we had a home of WFBC 1330.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I got a question for you.
Okay.
You ever heard of stunting in radio and broadcasting?
Stunting? Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Because I know WBT on a show.
Yeah, and they're not really stunts.
Classical music and
FM. Yo, they're not really stunting, because if they were stunting, they'd be doing something, not telling you to go to 107.9, but they'd be doing something that was ostensibly a format that was not, you know. That's what stunting's about, you know, like playing the same thing over and over or whatever, you know, for 24 hours. But they're just on a loop where they're announcing that you can go to 107.9. That's not stunting.
Yeah, but they playing that good lullaby music, that smooth jazz music that I like. I turn on that station and fall asleep on it.
All right. Well, I think it's interesting because when they switched to 107, they said, you know, we're soon going to tell you what we're doing with 1110, and they haven't yet.
So, that remains a mystery. I hope they do something to it. I hope they make it an oldie station.
I don't know what they're going to do with it. So, I think they moved to 107.9, and all they're doing, it's just a broadcast loop, you know, go to our FM signal and... Urban One still owns the frequency now. What I don't know, and I haven't really taken a look at it, is where is that tower site and what are they doing with that and all that kind of stuff. So I'll make it a point to do that.
Yeah.
Because that may be part of the story.
Kind of interesting right now.
Yeah. Well, you have ended the night. Enjoy Greenville. I'll try to find out about, see what's going on with the tower site for BT, and maybe that'll tell us something. All right, good deal.
Okay, and I hope to talk to you tomorrow night.
That'll be good. I hope so. All right, so that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air. He's back and doing well. We thank John for screening your calls, but above all, I thank you for calling. That's what makes the difference. Do it again tomorrow night, 21 hours from now. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.